Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we unpack the book of James. It's a personal, powerful, and yet practical book. Let's go ahead and hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, my friends, to today's conversation in the book of James. Personal, powerful, practical. I love those adjectives about the book of James, don't you, John?
Oh, they're very great adjectives to describe what James is doing here and how we all come to the book of James.
So we're right at the end, my friends, of the book. And we talked last conversation about the importance of our words and being honest and how sometimes in frustration, because of the things that we're facing, we say things that we shouldn't say, or in the heat of the moment that we don't mean. And James said, hey, guard your words. By guarding your words, you are guarding your reputation. And we won't belabor that point. In verse 13, there are only 20 verses in chapter 5, and chapter 5 is the last chapter in the book. So I really want to cover this section today, John, on prayer and how important prayer is. So think about it. We've talked about our words with others, right? Now we're going to talk about the words we use with God, because prayer is a conversation with the Lord.
And God wants us to pray. And, you know, prayer is something, as I look at my own life, something that, you know, I wish I would have been more diligent of as I've been when I was a kid growing up, and even my adult life oftentimes. God longs to hear from me. And what a concept that is. And I'm glad that James talks about prayer and the power of prayer as he winds up this epistle here.
And he winds it up in a powerful, punctiliar way. What I mean by that is he doesn't go to a long and flowery explanation. He just says some really short, pithy things that ought to ring true in our ears. Verse 13, is any among you afflicted? In other words, we've been talking about being taken advantage of and the various scenarios where we go through trials in our life. So is that true? Then the Bible says, let him pray. What a simple and yet profound piece of advice. Hey, are you going through it? Pray.
Yes.
Because we do everything but sometimes.
Yeah, we all verbalize that prayer works, but you're right. So often it's the last thing we go to.
And sometimes never go to. So we complain, we post about it, we have long talks about it, we bring it back up in our mind and obsess about it. We stay up late at night about it. Hey, if you're afflicted, pray. Let him pray. And then I love the opposite side of that in verse 13, is any merry? So that really describes the two extremes. You know, sometimes we're going through it negatively, pray about it. Sometimes you're just saying, man, God has just blessed me, and what a don't forget about God then. You know, then sing psalms. You bless the Lord for what he's done. In other words, allow the extremes of life on both sides to bring you back to a God consciousness.
It is so easy to forget about God when things are going well. And James calls us back to reality here.
Isn't it the writer of Proverbs that said, you know, give me bread sufficient for me? You know, because if I have too little, sometimes I'm tempted to forsake God. And if I have too much, sometimes I'm tempted to forget about God.
Yes.
So I want to make sure that I'm living a life of contentment. And yet James adds maybe a further thought here to say, well, when you are going through that time of extreme, just pray about it. Let that be a time where you get closer to God in that trial. And then if you're merry because there are external blessings in your life and you're not going through these trials, then allow that to be a time of God consciousness as well. So just good practical advice for us in verse 13. Verse 14, is any sick among you? And this is a much ballyhooed verse, John, in the Bible, because some would say, is this referring to a physical sickness? Is this referring to somebody that's depressed. There's many Bible scholars that would make the case that this is not a physical illness. And my answer to that would be yes.
Yes.
Because, you know, sickness has many different forms and sizes, doesn't it?
Surely, without doubt it does.
And even today, we're just now beginning to admit that even mental illness is a legitimate thing. And so, is any sick among you? The Bible says, let him call for the elders of the church. So a couple things here. Number one, James is assuming that the people to whom he's writing have a relationship with their local assembly.
Which is vitally important that, and so just as a side note, all of us have got to be vitally involved in churches. That's why God designed the church age to operate.
There is no sense in the New Testament of a Christian living his life outside of the authority and the auspices of his local church.
You don't find it anywhere in the New Testament.
You won't find it. So, you know, if you're deluding yourself into thinking that just because you're listening to this podcast or listening to your favorite online preacher on Sunday and, you know, bless God, you know, the internet is my church and I have a relationship with God, I don't need church. That's really not a New Testament attitude.
No, God designed the church to help us as a body function as we ought. And if we're not attached to that local body of Christ, we're not getting what God wants us to have to help us out in our Christian walk.
And I love the proactivity of verse 14, because is any sick among you? Let him call. A lot of times in life, we are upset because, well, they didn't call me, you know. I was out and nobody visited me. I was sick and nobody cared. But pastors are not clairvoyant. They don't have a special ESP gene that they were given when they were ordained. You know, when we need help, we need to call. And there's an element of humility there. I need help. I need prayer. I want you to come.
Yeah, God does want the one who is right now sick to take the initiative. And I like what you said, Pastor, about God wants them to be proactive and go out and seek what James is talking about here.
And the Lord himself says that. He said, call unto me and I will answer thee. God has said, hey, I'm here, I'm available, but you need to call. I think that within our local church, there are people there, they're available. Within the eldership or the pastoral staff, we might say, but sometimes we just need to call. So a call, the Bible says in verse 14, for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. So, you know, does God still heal today? I guess that would be a good initial question to ask.
Undoubtedly, God does heal. We all, I'm sure, those of you who are listening, you're probably in your mind right now thinking of a particular time you prayed about God healing somebody, and God did heal them.
So does that mean that God always heals?
No, it is a misapplication of this passage to say that God, you know, that we have to have health and wealth. That if we don't have health, then we are not right with God. That was a common thought in Jesus' day. It's a common thought in our day that if you are suffering, it's because of sin. But that's not true. And we've seen people, even the Hebrews chapter 11, people that went through dire times, but that's what God had for their life.
The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be cured of cancer. Now, can God cure of cancer? Of course he can. But the God does promise there's going to be a raising up. There's going to be a saving in the sense that God's going to do a work of grace, a work of help. And so always when we pray, always when we call and have others pray for us, always there's going to be a spiritual benefit. Always. In every case, God's going to involve himself. In every case, God's going to do something salvific, something along the lines of for my good. That's what sanctification, that aspect of salvation is.
And it gets back to the, why are we praying? Are we, you know, are we wanting to do something just because our flesh desires it? Or do we really want God's will in our life? I think of the Apostle Paul. We know of the story where he prayed three times, God, please take this thorn of flesh away from me.
And it was a thorn in the flesh. It was a physical malady.
Yes. And God says, no, Paul, you need that so that you have the right relationship with me that will keep you where you need to be and trusting in me.
So in that sense, did the Lord raise him up? Certainly. Did God save him in the sense of, did that accrue to his benefit to become more Christ-like in the process of sanctification? Of course it did. So where does the anointing of oil come into all of this?
As you know, Pastor, there are different views about this. Some people take this as just a medicine. Some people take this as if it is something that is, you know, power in the oil.
Right. That which would be a wrong view.
I take it just as symbolic. Symbolic of, you know, faith in God and what God through his Holy Spirit can do.
Yeah. And oil in the Bible was a symbol of the Holy Spirit of God. But regardless of your view, I think we could safely say that there's nothing magical about oil. Whether you view it medicinally or view it as symbolically, either way, we know it's God that has the power. It's God that does the saving, the helping, the raising. It is we who call upon the Lord and trust him. And so let's agree that there's power in prayer. Not that the power is in the prayer itself, but there's power in the God who answers prayer that has asked us to come, because this is Holy Scripture. God has given us both the means and the method by which to come to him, and he's telling us that he's there, and God works in and through our local church. And so are we rightly aligned with God? Are we rightly aligned with our local church? Are we humble enough to call and ask for others to come and pray for us and to help us, realizing that this is God's prescribed method? These are the questions we ask.
And this Pope passage does deal with really the humility, as you pointed out, the humility of the sick one. And, you know, sometimes suffering, sickness is because of sin. Not always, but in the context of this passage, the person who has humility to come to the church and say, I need help, is a person who's shown humility in their heart. They're wanting God to work in their life. And if they have sin, they're going to confess that sin and get that sin right.
And I think that's the sense of verse 16, which we'll close with today, where it says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. That, I think that is a continuation of this. I'm calling for the elder of the church. Part of that is, hey, you know, I'm sick or maybe I'm depressed. And let me be honest, here's some things that are going on in my life. Because 1 Corinthians 11, among other passages, teaches that sometimes the reason for physical weakness or depression or even sickness is because we have not been living right. So confess your faults one to another. This is, by the way, not what our Catholic friends would say, well, we need to confess to a priest, because if that were true, then the priest ought to get in the confessional booth and confess to that person, because we're confessing one to another. So confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Prayer makes a difference.
Oh, it does. And God wants wholeness for us as individuals. And I'm not speaking about just physical health, but he wants us to be whole, to be at peace with God. And he wants us to have wholeness as the body of Christ, as our local assemblies. And when people have division and strife, there is not that wholeness that God desires. But through coming together and confessing our faults and being right with one another, there is great power in that, in being whole as a body of Christ.
Yeah, listen, there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So we don't need to confess our sins to others for the sense of getting them forgiven. God does that. But the point is, there needs to be a transparency. There needs to be an authenticity. There have been seasons in Christianity where we kind of put on that Pharisaical veneer to say, you know, I never sin, I never struggle. And sometimes we get the idea when we come to church that, wow, all these families, they're all cookie cutter, I'll never be like that. But the truth is, we all struggle. The truth is, we all have areas in our life. And my area might not be your area. And it's as we humble ourselves that's a theme here. It's as we come to each other to say, hey, pray for me, help me, and I'll pray for you. It's that, and there's the local church, right? There's the membership. It's as we do that honestly that the Lord can honor those prayers and really get involved in his church.
Yeah, it shows where we're at in our heart. Are we wanting to thrive for God and grow in grace? Or are we wanting to, you know, keep some of our faults tucked away, hidden away, and even refuse to admit that we have them? We need to have an open, you know, as you say, we don't need to air the dirty laundry, and we don't go to people to confess to get their, you know, forgiveness from that only God can bestow. But there is this idea of this transparency that does bring people together as they are working together in Christ in authentic relationships.
There it is, my friends. And so let's strive today to be honest and transparent with each other. But most importantly, let's be honest and transparent with God, remembering that many times we have not because we ask not. Let's learn to be people of prayer. God bless you, my friends. We'll say a little bit more about that next episode, but we're out of time for today. So I hope you have a great day in the Lord.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.